A name already associated with government and politics here in Ingham County is about to become more familiar. East Lansing's Curtis Hertel Jr. has announced he wants to be the 23rd District's next state senator. The 35-year-old Democrat currently serves as the County Register of Deeds, where he's been an advocate for quite a few foreclosed county residents. And he's generally, I think it's safe to say, he's been a thorn in the side of the banking and mortgage industries. In particular, he's been a vocal supporter of judicial foreclosure, where there is more oversight of foreclosure processes by a judge. Happy to welcome back to Current State, Curtis Hertel Jr. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me on, Mark.
It's great to have you back. Why would you like to be the state senator in this district?
You know, for the last 5 years, I've served as Register of Deeds here in Ingham County, and we've taken a lot of tough battles. And I think we've tried to make the office more about helping people. And I see a legislature that really isn't often about helping people. I think too often they look at their own ideology and their own special interest groups and don't actually look at what we can do to help people in this state. So I'm focused on trying to bring the same passion and fight that we've brought to Ingham County, suing the banks, going after bad foreclosure companies, trying to keep people in their homes, and bring that same passion to the state to fight those issues.
Refresh our memories here regarding your experience prior to becoming the County Register of Deeds. What were you doing?
For 8 years, I served on the Board of Commissioners. Really enjoyed the experience that I had there. We funded the Ingham Health Plan. We actually got to the highest level of access to care we had ever had in Ingham County, passed a living wage. So there were a lot of good things we did on the Board of Commissioners. I also served as the governor's legislative liaison for the Department of Community Health. So I worked with the legislature working on issues. I helped pass the
This is the Granholm administration.
Exactly, yes. We passed the smoke-free law, the childhood lead safety law, the childhood booster seat law, protections for seniors in nursing homes. So I have a lot of experience writing legislation, working legislation through the House and Senate, and we did that in a very bipartisan way at the time, and we got things done. I think, unfortunately, now there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of bipartisan effort, and it seems to be that we're only interested in working with our own special interest groups. So we need to go in there and be willing to work with the other side, but also say, this legislature is elected by the people and should be about the people. And I just think we've gotten way too far away from that in this state.
Are there any other Democrats you're aware of who are also interested in the seat and considering a run still?
Not right now. I mean, I think we put our first fundraiser host committee, and many of the prominent Democrats in this area have already on board our campaign. We're lucky to have a large amount of support. You know, one thing I learned from growing up in politics is you don't really worry about what other people are doing. What my job is to focus on what I want to do for people and to spend the time running our own campaign. And I think we'll do that. But I'm very excited to get out there. We're going to start knocking doors this summer. I don't like to wait on things. We want to be aggressive and get out to people and hopefully get elected in 2014.
Can you identify a few of your endorsers?
Sure. Yeah, Andy Shore, Sam Singh, Tom Cochran, the sheriff, Gene Rigglesworth. Barb Byram's on the host committee.
Okay.
We have I think a lot of the prominent Democrats in this area. And we're also working to get labor union support and other Democratic institutions. But, you know, I think that we have a strong record working for people, working with organizations to actually improve this state and this county. So I think we'll get a lot of support, and I think you'll see it come early.
Have you arrived at positions on all of the hot issues at the Capitol right now, or is that a process that requires more time?
You know, I'm a student of the news, and I'm a student of politics, so I probably could talk about most issues. I mean, obviously, there needs to be more in-depth study on some issues, but I think I'm pretty good.
Let's jump into a couple of them that are really come to mind. It seems everybody's an advocate of infrastructure investment. The issue seems to be how to pay for it. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think we certainly need better roads. Michigan is rated one of the worst roads in the country. Anybody who drives on them knows that. We certainly need to look at better funding. I want a couple priorities there. The funding can't be regressive. I think we have completely changed our tax system to benefit business and tax more on the people, and we can't do that. So we have to make sure that that's a number one priority in that process. And we also have to make sure that the work that's being done is being done by Michigan companies. In the governor's budget, they took out a provision that actually required that the first bid options were actually Michigan companies. And I think that's a huge problem. I mean, if we're going to be investing this amount of money in Michigan roads, it should be done by Michigan workers and make sure that we're investing in our own economy. It doesn't make any sense to actually bring people in from out of state to do this kind of work.
Is there any kind of it's clear there's no consensus between the Democrats and the Republicans, but is there even a consensus among the Democrats that you can pick up on? I mean, is there anything coalescing here in terms of funding transportation and infrastructure just on the Democratic side, or is it all over the road?
Well, I mean, I don't know if there's a specific plan. I mean, I know we've talked about the gas tax increase. I know we've talked about increasing the registration fee.
Right.
You know, those are interesting proposals. I just think we have to make sure that the way we do it is fair to middle-class Michigan citizens. I think too often we worry a lot about what corporations have done. There are a lot of loopholes in Michigan that actually protect corporations and not a lot that actually is done to protect the average citizens.
Do you support Senator Whitmer's Michigan 2020 plan as it is?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the devil's in the details of everything and things get worked out over time. I would say that when we can close corporate investments, and this is what she's trying to do, and invest that money in education to provide access to people, it's a very good thing. You go and look at places like Kalamazoo, where they have the Promise Scholarships there, and the Kalamazoo Promise. And that has really improved kids' test scores and everything else because they know that if they do well in school, they have an actual chance to go to college. You need to give people hope at a lot of levels. So I think that it's a great plan, and I look forward to supporting it.
Last week here on Current State, Dr. Don Heller, who's the dean of the College of Education here at MSU, criticized the Michigan 2020 plan because it would allocate some college money, to every Michigan high school graduate. Here's one reason why.
The main problem with the Senate Democrats' plan is that it's going to be subsidizing the college tuition of thousands and thousands of students who can well afford and their families can afford to pay that tuition. And if the Democrats can find $1.8 billion, I have lots of many better ideas of how they could spend that just related to education alone.
Does he have a point, Curtis?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a fair point that we shouldn't be subsidizing people at some income level, and there probably is a way to eventually get to a specific number. You want to make sure that people in the middle class were covered, for example. College tuition has become incredibly expensive. So the idea that a lot of people in Michigan can afford, I think, is just not true. I mean, that being said, I think the fact that we have two people talking about different ways to fund education is a good thing. I don't think we have that same thing happening on the Republican side. So, you know, yes, we might have infighting. Yes, we might have two different perspectives on exactly what the answer should be. But the answer certainly can't be, let's not fund education. So I think it's good that we have these two different perspectives. I agree that both of them are good priorities, and we just got to figure out the best way to actually make it work.
Let's say you're meeting with Governor Snyder in his office. You're senator, okay? Let's flash forward 2 years.
I'm hoping he's not governor then, but
senator.
But I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
it's all theoretical, Curtis. Let's say you're meeting with Governor Snyder, and your senator and his advisors burst in the door, and they say, "Great news, Governor Snyder! It appears there's $1 million more in revenue this year than we projected." And the governor smiles and he looks at you and he says, "Senator Hertel, what do you think? What should we do with this $1 million? Any thoughts on what you would say?
You know, $1 million is not a lot of money in state money.
So, no, I mean, it's not so much the sum, it's the priority.
No, I understand. You know, in Ingham County, we took $60,000 in state money and actually invested it in preventing foreclosures. And for $60,000, we were able to provide for 250 people a process that actually slowed their foreclosure down and gave them due process. For a slightly smaller, more amount in terms of state money, you could expand that program for $3.5 million to the entire state. And actually give people due process in the foreclosure process.
Are you talking about judicial foreclosure here?
Actually, no. I mean, that would probably be a slightly more expensive program.
You're just talking about kind of the watchdog program.
What I'm talking about is having a legal aid attorney available to citizens that are legally foreclosed to stop those foreclosures. Every foreclosure we stop saves thousands of dollars in equity in homes in that surrounding neighborhood. For every foreclosure, each home in that neighborhood loses an average of $1,500 in value. Ingham County alone, in the last 3 years, has lost $1 billion in taxable value, largely because of the foreclosure crisis. $1 billion in taxable value. So if we can slow down just a few foreclosures, we can actually create investments in all those areas. It actually affects the way we fund schools. It affects the way we fund local government. We need to slow the foreclosures down, and if we can do that, it'll actually have a huge benefit. And also, on top of that, are providing due process to people, which is should be a priority for all of us. So if we're talking about a small amount of money, I mean, obviously, I'd like to, you know, have early education programs expanded throughout the state, and obviously I'd like to provide a tuition to middle-class families so they can send their kids to college. And expand our healthcare program. But if we're talking about a small amount of money, that's one thing I think we could use it on.
You were legislative liaison for the Granholm administration. How will you respond to people who say Jennifer Granholm and a lot of Democrats had years to get it right and they just didn't get it done, and that Michigan needs reinvention just like Rick Snyder says it does?
Well, I would say two things there. First of all, you know, I don't disagree that we didn't get enough done under the Granholm administration. That being said, we had a Democratic legislature that unfortunately elected a what I would consider a Republican Speaker of the House. So we lost a lot there. You know, Andy Dillon, I'm sure he's a heck of a nice guy, but he's not exactly a progressive Democrat, so it wasn't easy to get our agenda through. Plus, we had Mike Bishop on the other side.
Who was a Republican.
So it's not really fair to say you didn't get enough done because, you know, there are a lot of roadblocks there. On the other side, this governor has had full control of the Senate and full control of the legislature. And let's look at what his actual record is. I mean, what his record has been is to side with corporations, change the tax code so that we invest in corporations and not people, and even when he's on our side, even when things like the Medicaid expansion are going on, he can't get his own party to actually vote to expand Medicaid when it's fully paid for by the federal government, would provide billions of dollars in investment in the community, would give 400,000 people access to health care, and would lower all of our premiums because they'd be getting basic care before they actually get sick, which we're already paying for now. It's a really simple equation. There's money coming in from the federal government that would provide access to care to people. On the other side, there is no reasonable argument against it. And still we can't get the legislature to do it because of ideology, mm-hmm. because of fear of Tea Party. It doesn't make any sense.
Curtis Hertel Jr. is the Ingham County Register of Deeds. He is a candidate for the State Senate's 23rd District, which includes just about all of Ingham County. Nice to visit, Curtis. We'll have you back.
I'd love to come on. Thank you.